much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All the preparations have been made. Awaiting your command.
So is it time? No, not yet. Almost.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I'm sorry. I didn't get that. Can you just repeat that for me?
Okay, listen carefully. Lotion is water-based. As much of that as you want. Don't matter. It's water-based. But cream, that's all-based. You hear me? All-based. Look that up, do you?
Okay, so lotion, I go crazy. Yeah. Do what I want. All over. Now, what's the story with cream again?
Look that up, do you?
But I gotta warn you. This is a warning. Warning alert. Tube tops. Get ready for tube top summer.
And now.
Oh. So this is a thing.
Yeah, this is a thing.
Our feature presentation.
Is it tube top summer?
It is.
And is it a warning?
It's already tube top summer, you guys.
Both valid questions.
Yeah.
I feel like it got here so fast this year.
It didn't. It's not summer.
Well, according to Rodney Bingenheimer, it is.
If Rodney says it, I think we have to go with it.
Yeah,
I think
so. He did warn us.
He's definitive.
Okay.
Guys and girls?
Tube tops?
Yeah.
No. Just guys only, yeah.
Just guys.
Okay. Yeah.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin Abicho. It is Wednesday morning, the 10th of May.
And we're already off to a better start than yesterday.
Correct.
Everybody's here today. Sure. I played the right tape.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We're tanned. We're rested. We're ready. Oh, we're going to put on a fantastic show. Come on.
Not so sure.
I'm going to start with this story to get us going before we look at what's on today's program. It's getting to where you can't keep up with all the passenger revolts with flying in this country right now.
Yeah, it's insane.
We didn't even mention it yesterday, but I'm sure most people saw the riot down in, was it Miami, with all the Spirit Airlines that were canceled. And I mean, it was a full-on, it looked like LA 92 in that airport yesterday, with the police just throwing people to the ground and people hitting each other. I mean, it was a full-on riot at the airport there.
It was bad.
Some sort of a pilot work slowdown, I guess. So a bunch of flights were canceled. People just had enough.
Work slowdown?
Well, it's where you call in sick. You don't quit. You don't go on strike, but you just don't show up, that kind of thing. And then
I'd like to be there, but, you know, I'm not going to make it.
Yeah. Not feeling well, right.
A little slow.
And then I didn't even read the story, but I saw the headline. Apparently, there were passengers on a flight in Burbank last night. Allie, you probably saw this. Who literally got
Southwest?
Into
Southwest?
Got into a fist fight.
Yes.
All right.
On a plane.
Insane.
While it was landing, I think. All right. Having said all that, and I understand that it's inconvenient for a lot of people, and it's not fun to fly. You tell me whose side you're on in this one. Here's the headline. Woman says she was forced to pee in a cup at her seat on a United Airlines flight.
Oh.
In yet another horror story about the state of commercial aviation, a nurse from Kansas City says she was forced to pee in a cup in her seat because she was not allowed to use the plane's lavatory. Now, she is complaining about this. This is every flight where they have times that you're allowed to get up and go into the bathroom and times that you're not. And when you're landing and taking off, you can't, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just their policy. And I understand
that policy. Don't you know that, though? Don't you know it?
Yes. Yeah,
so and then you say, hey, I'm going to need to go in a few minutes. I'll go now.
Yeah. Or I won't down 20 waters before I get on this plane.
The lady, Nicole Harper, says flight attendants would not allow her to get out of her seat and use the bathroom until the captain had turned off the seatbelt sign. All right, as we said, that's the policy. And the reason for that is they don't want people to fall or get hurt in the event of turbulence, right? Or in the event that the plane moves up and down, and they don't want people to get hurt. I mean, I think they're doing it for your safety, right?
Yeah.
Okay. After explaining that I have an overactive bladder... So she's saying it's a medical condition, by the way.
Right.
And it sounds like, and I don't know anything about overactive bladders, but is that a thing where it comes on fast and it's out of the blue? And when you got to pee, you got to pee now? Is that what it is? You don't have the the muscles that you can like hold like most people? After explaining that I have an overactive bladder and would either need to use the restroom or pee in a cup, I was handed a cup by flight attendants.
All right.
I Does bet it... the flight attendant was like, sure, here's a cup.
Does it sound to you guys, though, that the flight attendant did the right thing?
If it was still the point where you cannot get up,
right.
You can't get up.
And she said, either let me get up or hand me a cup. So how upset could she be that she was handed a cup? I mean, she asked to pee in a cup.
Yeah, I think I doubt she said that seriously. She said it like, you better let me up.
Right.
And then she got a cup. And then she was moated, faced, boom.
But she really had to pee, though, Allie.
To really pee, too.
But everyone has.
But isn't it a better option to pee in a cup than to pee yourself in a seat?
Yes.
I would think.
You would think.
You would think that peeing in a cup on an airplane in front of my family and strangers would be the worst part of this story, but the way I was treated by flight attendants afterwards was worse. She said that the attendants shamed her by saying they would be filling a report and that she would have to speak with the pilot after landing. By the way, both of those things sound reasonable to me. I should have said filing. Filing report. Filing report, I feel like that's the type of thing that they should make a note of, that happened on a plane. I don't know why she needs to speak to the pilot, but I don't think that's an undue ask either. She also said that they would have to call a hazmat team to clean the row of seats where she had used the cup, even though there was no spillage involved.
All right.
I am fine with them cleaning the airplane after somebody pees on it in the seats, right?
Well, absolutely.
Sure. I don't know what this lady's complaining about.
Something went on before. You don't file a report for nothing. That's undue paperwork. They have enough that they have to do. They're not filing it just to file. I do think that talking to the pilot, let that one go. I don't need to be reprimanded by some dude that's at the front of... He sees nothing.
He had nothing to do
no,
with it.
No
right.
idea what happened.
How much of this story are we missing?
Yeah. A lot.
90%?
A lot.
Yeah. I mean, this is her, you know, this is her version of the events. By the way, I don't mind. I think it makes sense them filing a report because it gets back to United, though. Hey, did somebody pee on your plane? Why didn't we know about that?
Right.
I understand. All right. Here's the end. As an emergency room nurse, I completely understand having a bad day on the job and having to deal with undesirable body fluids. What I don't understand is zero customer service. If I treated a patient this poorly, I would have consequences. Remember, she's a nurse. So I don't know what it is she is expecting from them, but she is bitching about it. And she's on Facebook, and she's trying to get somebody on the phone to acknowledge her complaint and how unhappy she is. But I got to tell you, I feel like I'm on the airline side on this one.
I definitely am. Here's the thing, though. If you're a nurse and you know you have an overactive bladder, wouldn't you take every precaution?
Yeah,
I'm saying adult diapers. I'm saying it. Just do something that if there was a problem, you had it handled.
You're saying they completely understand what's going on in the body.
Absolutely.
So they can just plan that way.
Absolutely.
That's absurd.
Yeah. All right. I think that's. I hate to say it, but I think we're coming down on United Airlines side on this one, you guys.
Get off Kevin's phone.
Plane.
Plane.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Beecho, shall we?
Put words together in a sentence that might give me a sense of what the actual.
Fox 11 did a news story on a sex robot.
Why are you saying it like that? Like this isn't the future.
A sex robot.
Right? Yeah. Go on.
What? Dean is much too excited about this.
Have you seen her?
No.
I mean, she's pretty hot.
I mean,
is she?
I got excited. Yeah.
Look, you can't stop technology, Kevin.
Right. And not trying to. Not trying to.
Why would you want to?
Not trying to. Just don't want you around this particular sex technology.
I would think, we can talk about it later, but I would think that would be the best case scenario to have me in my house with a sex robot.
Well, agreed.
And not roaming the streets.
Well, agreed.
Okay.
Again, agreed.
Then you should be rooting for this.
Do we want the Olympics in Los Angeles?
Hell no.
Hard no.
Yeah, absolutely zero.
Hard
no, you're not.
I can be a yes.
You
can choose whether to be a yes or not.
Hard no.
No, you can't be wrong about everything, Kevin.
Hard no. I went to the Museum of Ice Cream, and it's...
the greatest place on Earth?
Just BS.
You want to live the rest of your life and die there?
Total,
it was so awesome?
Total BS.
You'll never go anywhere else.
It's the worst.
I think you'd be mayor.
Right? You would think.
Yeah.
No. No awards. Nothing. Not a trophy. Uh-uh. Also in the program today, we're going to talk about pranks gone wrong.
Mm.
And I'm just going to give you two words. Eel.
Eel.
But.
Butt.
Eel
butt.
And butt.
Oh.
So that's coming up this morning. We have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices like we do on Wednesdays. And we've got your tickets in the third row for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta coming up a week from Saturday.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
I want to say. So we've got that coming up as well this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat Night. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Are you sure we're not Jack FM? Because I feel like we're playing what we want right now. I don't know if you were just heard.
No, that was Lighthouse.
That's what I'm saying.
Lighthouse.
Or Lifehouse.
Did I say Lighthouse?
Yeah,
Lighthouse.
Either one.
So I don't think we're playing what we want.
I see them. I get it.
You know what? That song.
I mean, I want it at night on Coast when I'm going to bed.
That's a great tune.
Sure.
Does it hold up in 2017, Ralph? Is it a song you still are excited
for? More Bill Withers, please.
Or was it a point? Was it a point in time?
It's fine.
Is Lifehouse now and forever? Is that what you're saying?
What? I don't understand the question. Can we only play things that came out 5 minutes ago?
No,
Let's play a cross-section. Let's play stuff we used to listen to and we're listening to now. Mm-hmm. It's just...
That's... You also don't play it all that much.
Right.
Yeah, comes up every month, 2 months, 3 months.
Spice to the dish,
All right. So you'll allow it.
That's the song. That's where you're drawing the line.
Right.
That song.
Right.
Not freaking Harvey Danger, Flagpole Sitter, whatever other garbage that they were forced to play.
I mean, I'm good with that one not being on as much as well.
I mean, you can't please all the people all the time, I guess. And maybe you're right. Maybe the diplomatic way to approach it is, hey, that song's not for me, but it's for somebody else. And the next one might be the other way around. So we just we're all in this together, right? That's your point.
That's the ruling?
Yep. I like it. All right, 5:54, Ralph is here. It's time for our first look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday.
Sad news. Big Black has passed away.
That was shocking.
You remember MTV's duo Rob and Big back in the day?
It's a bummer.
Christopher Big Black Boykin was a skateboarder and was best friends with skateboarder and entrepreneur Rob Dyrdek. And they had a very successful show called Rob and Big for 3 seasons on MTV. The reality series was basically the two of them in their day-to-day lives because Christopher used to live with Rob. And they'd have adventures like adopting a mini horse, breaking Guinness World Records, and it was very entertaining. The show ended in 2008 after Boykin had a child and stopped living with Rob. But they went on to appear in several episodes of Fantasy Factory and Ridiculousness together. And 45 years old, no cause of death has been reported yet, but boy, is that young.
I think I heard it was a heart attack, but, you know, who knows? He was so fun on that show, too. You know?
Seemed like
such a great guy.
Yep.
Sad.
So you shouldn't die. People who are fun.
That's how you judge.
Shouldn't
die. No, I'm saying it makes it even sadder that he was so young and that he also seemed like such a good dude.
Ah. Here's some good news. You know, rarely do you see good news in politics, but this is some good news. Antonio Sabato Jr. is running for Congress. Right?
Is that good news?
Sure.
Did you say?
Because not only was he a former Calvin Klein model.
Right.
Yeah, he was.
And Melrose Place and General Hospital cast member. But he's also a big, big Donald Trump supporter. So, that's all good. He spoke at last year's Republican National Convention.
He sure did.
To show you what last year's Republican National Convention was like. So Antonio Sabato Jr. will be running as the Republican candidate for Congress in the Golden State's 26th Congressional District. I'm not sure where that is, but I might consider moving there just so I can vote for Antonio Sabato Jr.
He can be your congressman.
Absolutely. What a dreamy congressman he would be, huh?
He would be. We would have the best-looking congressman in Congress, that's for sure.
Yep.
Where are those congressmen?
Good point.
In Congress.
Good point.
Is that where you find them?
Solid point.
Why don't you just lay down for the first one? Take the first showbiz beat off. Just relax.
I don't do my best work before 6 a.m.
Just take a nap.
I'm okay.
Hey, I'm not a big theater guy. I like to see theater when I'm in New York. You know, I'll see a play or two. But I'm not a diehard theater guy. But this I'd like to see.
Okay.
They're doing Hamlet off-Broadway at the Public Theater in New York. And Oscar Isaac is starring as Hamlet from Star Wars. And as Horatio, Keegan-Michael Key.
Okay.
That sounds like a great cast.
It does.
Previews begin on June 20th, and the opening night is set for July 12th this summer at the Publix Anspach Theater in New York City. So if you're in the Big Apple this summer, maybe check them out. Taken, NBC. Taken. You guys watching Taken over there on NBC?
No.
Taken.
I'm familiar right. with the show. I know that he is.
He has a particular set of skills that makes right. him a nightmare for people like you.
Right.
Well, it's just been renewed for a second season. Right. It's apparently it's doing very well for itself. It's basically a prequel to the movie starring Liam Neeson about Brian Mills, who has a particular set of skills, and he protects people because they often get taken.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations to those people on that show. You guys remember Hervé Villechaize? Does that name sound familiar to you?
Sure.
Hervé Villechaize? Kevin, Hervé Villechaize. Kevin, the name is Hervé Villechaize. Please tell me who he is, please.
Leader of Ecuador, I'm going to say. King of Ecuador.
He was a guest on the Kevin and Bean show at one point, Kevin, if that
was
helps
he
you.
Really?
He was.
King of Ecuador. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
No.
No? He was a tattoo on Fantasy Island.
Well, I mean, that too.
The plane, boss. Look, the people are coming to enjoy the fantasies on Fantasy Island, boss.
He was also Nick Knack in the James Bond movie, Man with the Golden Gun.
Boss, James Bond is coming, boss.
He said boss a lot in most of his roles. Anyway, he was a an actor who had lived a wild, crazy life. And now HBO is making a movie about his life.
Is that right?
Yes. And apparently Hervé will be played by...
Chip.
Well, no, not Chip.
Oh, Chip.
When you think of little people...
Chip.
Peter Dinklage.
Oh, really?
Will be in the starring role.
Oh, a second choice.
Along with Jamie Dornan. Of 50 Shades of Grey fame will be playing a struggling journalist who sits down with him for dinner to try to get an interview, and then life-changing consequences happen for both.
So much sex.
Right?
Yeah.
They used to call him the tripod, Hervé Villechaize, by
the way. No.
Yeah.
Go on.
My Dinner with Hervé will be the name of the film.
Forgive me for if I'm remembering this incorrectly, Ralph, but I thought he was like Asian or something. Filipino, something? Hervé Villechaize, no?
Listen to the name and think about what he looked like.
It Mexican? Sounds racist. Okay, but I guess my
Mexican.
Point is...
Mexican?
What is he? What's
Hervé Villechaize was French.
Okay. He's French, all right.
Hervé Villechaize.
He just didn't look like a white guy to me,
I
and that's
he
why...
Was, he was Filipino.
Was he?
I feel like, yeah.
Why are you saying that?
Because he looked Asian.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is he looked
he
Asian.
He wasn't
so
Asian.
My point right, is, Peter Dinklage surprises me as a choice, especially these days we're hearing so much complaints about whitewashing in casting. And I just wondered if they couldn't find an actor who ethnically was closer to what Hervé Villechaize was.
It sounds racist.
He was a French actor and painter of English and Filipino descent.
So,
I'd say French. I mean, really, unless you want to go way back. But
well, I'm saying his looks, though. He definitely had some Asian in him, is what I'm saying.
Why are you so racist?
I'm not racist. I'm talking about the way the man.
Racist.
I'm talking about the way the man looked. He looked Asian.
He
didn't
look Asian.
They're casting a white dude to play him. And look, Peter Dinklage is a great actor, but I just wonder if some people will criticize that. That's all. Why not find somebody who looks more like the dude?
He didn't look
playing.
Asian. Looked like a small boy.
All right.
Yeah, shut up, dude.
You are like 3 for 3 today.
I'm just saying he looked Asian.
He did not
I
look
wish
white.
You could just shut your big yapper.
Really?
What am I wrong? What am I wrong about? Tell me what I'm wrong about here. That he was of Filipino descent, that he looks Asian, and that they're casting a white guy to play him. Those are my only points.
Once again, I am amazed at the level of blithering idiocy that issues from your pie hole.
Of all the characteristics that Hervé Villechaize had, what do you think are really the key ones in portraying him? What do you think really item number one would be, you dumbass?
That he was not a tall man.
Really? You think that might be his signature feature?
I think that's
that might be the thing you need to focus on.
I think that needs to be part of the equation. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I don't think you can ignore that. I don't think you cast a 6'1" actor to play him either.
Okay, good call.
We're getting somewhere, guys.
Look, when the show starts at 6, this will all be but a distant memory.
6'2".
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bono. He sings for a band called U2.
He's Asian.
Right. He's Filipino. 57 years old today. Kenan Thompson from Saturday Night Live. He's been on that show for 41 years now. Congratulations, Kenan Thompson. He is 39. He was on that show before he was born. Odette Enable? Odette Annable?
I think Annable sounds closer.
Whatever. She's beautiful and lovely and wonderful. And talented and charming. 32.
Wonderful lady.
Dave, come on. King of Mexico? Magician Matt Franco is 29 years old today. Why is Magician Matt Franco on my list?
No.
Cross that off. Magician Matt Franco.
Dumb.
Ryan Getzlaff is 32 years old today.
Go Ducks.
Go Ducks. Go Ducks. Big game tonight.
Yep.
Go Ducks. And rapper Young MC celebrates his 50th birthday today. At 50, do we still get to call him Young MC? I don't know. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, the 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is the latest from Paramore called Hard Times.
Chip, they're your mortal enemies. You know, they're all in on the Nashville Predators. I don't know if you saw the video of them at the game last night all dancing around in their jerseys.
Interesting.
That's who Anaheim's going to face next if they can get out of tonight. Hey, great show coming up, Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, because it's Wednesday. And speaking of Paramore, we got tickets in the third row for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E Fiesta that you can win. First, though, Allie, you're going to be very excited. We go to Boston for this story.
Excellent.
Willie Wilkerson, Boston pastor there. Mm-hmm. He's in Dorchester. Is that that's a popular part of the town, right?
It's Dot. Yeah.
Is that what they call it? The Dot?
Dot, Dot.
Well, he's in the news right now because he's been arrested and they have seized crack cocaine, fentanyl, Percocet, Suboxone, and Klonopin. Did I say that right, Kevin? Klonopin pills?
Yes.
And about 10,000.
You didn't say fentanyl, right? But that's how you say that. And that is super, super, super strong. But you also said pastor, and that can't be.
Pastor's the one I'm. You right? Didn't mean that.
He's a pastor? Yes.
He has been arrested and charged with drug trafficking after police found a large stash of drugs and wads of cash at his residence and his church. My favorite part about the story, besides the fact that he's a man of the cloth, is that one of the services he provided at the church was a 12-step substance abuse recovery group.
Oh, no.
But in the event that you you have a weak moment or something like that, it's kind of nice that it's one-stop shopping. You can go there for the AA, but in the event that you change your mind, you can also buy a little something while you're there.
Halfway through, I was good, but now I need something.
So we wanted to find out more about this story, and believe it or not, against the advice of his attorney, the pastor himself, Willie Wilkerson, joins us from Boston on the phone on the Kevin DeBede Show right now. Hello, Pastor.
Pastor Willie, how can I help you?
Kind of a rough break, this arrest, I would imagine.
It's BS is what it is.
Oh, are you saying you did not, you have not been selling drugs?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying Listen, my job as pastor is to comfort my flock.
Right.
Uh-huh. My parishioners, if they need comfort, I'm here to provide it for them.
Right.
So sometimes comfort's a Klonopin.
Right, but spiritual.
You need a little comfort, you take a little fentanyl.
Right, but those are illegal substances for you to have there at your church and your home and to
illegal
sell.
Illegal in whose eyes?
The government of the United States, who write the laws.
I answer to a higher power.
Right, but you...
I'm like Hebrew National Hot Dog.
You can't just do whatever you want.
Is the higher power cool with crack cocaine?
He made it, didn't he? God made crack.
I mean, it's a good point.
Thank you, lady. The lady knows.
Well, the lady is from your town. That's why.
Well, then she's great, first of all. Anybody from Boston is great. But secondly, she must know a crack, right?
Who are you kidding? Right. The thing that concerns me in this article, it says that search warrants also found property recently stolen in a breaking and entering incident. How did that wind up in your place?
Who am I to judge?
Judge
one
what?
Of my prisoners what? Is able to pay for a little Percocet. He comes and says, hey, I got it. I got a Blu-ray player. Are you interested in trading? I can use a Blu-ray player.
Right, but doesn't he just bring you the Blu-ray?
I got to watch. I got so much Ray Donovan to watch.
Right.
I'm waiting for it to put out on Blu-ray so I can actually watch a guy from Southie do good in Los Angeles.
But doesn't he just show up with the Blu-ray player? You don't have to break into his house and get it.
Oh, no.
Wait.
I don't got time to fix this guy. Okay. I can't straighten out his logic.
See, they're bringing hot things to him to trade
to him,
for
to
drugs.
Trade for drugs.
Yeah.
The property was found at the church.
Do you have weed?
I wasn't found with like a crowbar outside a guy's house breaking into it.
No, but there was a lot of property also found at your house.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Are you one of my customers? Because you sound like you're high right now.
Look, you can't support people stealing things to trade for drugs. You just can't do that. I mean, isn't that against what it says in the Bible? Thou shalt not steal. You know they're stealing this stuff.
Who is without a stone, throw the first VCR.
Okay? I'm not sure that's how that expression goes. That's
how that works.
Let the guy who thinks that maybe he shouldn't be doing it not say to the other guy who's doing it, hey, what are you doing?
Well, that's what Jesus said.
Amen.
Hey!
I'm going to say no. No. I like ice cream maybe more than the next person.
Would you say ice cream is your favorite food?
Yes.
Okay. Oh.
It's possible. Yeah. Eat it every day. Very happy.
Huh.
Every single day.
Isn't that interesting, Allie? He eats ice cream every day.
How are you not 500 pounds, Kevin?
That's a great question. Well, I mean, I love ice cream, too, but for me, it's a
treat.
A treat. It's a once in a great while, I'll splurge and have some ice cream.
Two things. One that I have some control over, and that is that I run every day.
All right, so you can just burn off whatever ice cream you're eating.
Okay.
It probably not. Probably don't run that much.
Okay.
And two is complete luck of the draw, DNA from my dad.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So I went to the Museum of Ice Cream.
Mm-hmm.
And
what a great idea, a Museum of Ice Cream. Now, this place has been, for folks who haven't heard about it, it's in the Arts District, downtown L.A. It opened a few weeks ago, and it's sold out instantly.
Yeah.
In advance.
Sure it is.
Sold out. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was scheduled to close Memorial Day weekend, and it has proven so popular they have extended it through at least the month of June right now. People can't get enough of this Museum of Ice Cream.
Same.
So you have to call to make an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So my daughter called, made an appointment for, I think it was about 3.5 weeks later. That's how booked it is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when we got there was a long line.
Okay.
So we went up to the front and we said, hey, we have reservations, you know, at 11:30. Is that cool? And he goes, oh, yeah, everybody else here does too.
Oh, dear.
Stand in line.
Okay.
So we stood in line and they'd let in like 6 people, stood in line, 8 people, 10, sometimes 4.
It's a small museum, right? And they don't want it to be too crowded.
Right.
All right.
So our 11:30 appointment, we got it about noon.
Okay.
Right. I'd say. The first thing you do is you stand in front of the doors, and then they make you shout your favorite ice cream.
Oh.
All right, everybody. Now, on the count of three, let's let everybody inside here. What's your favorite ice cream?
What did you shout?
So really shout it.
What did you shout?
Neapolitan.
No, you didn't.
I did because I thought it was stupid.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they couldn't hear that. Come on, everybody. It was one of those things.
Oh, dear.
So you weren't in the mood for an interactive experience.
I mean, interactive in that I want to put ice cream in my mouth.
Right.
Okay. So you thought that's what this whole thing was. Everywhere you went, they're just handing you ice cream.
Well, at least samples.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Different kinds of ice cream, yeah.
That's fair enough.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you walk in, and there's a pink phone on the wall. So you pick up the phone. And mine wasn't working, but apparently somebody that sounds like Seth Rogen or Seth Rogen, I don't know, welcomes you to the Museum of Ice Cream.
Okay.
Is that a step that's necessary?
I don't think so.
Is there any ice cream in that room?
No.
It
doesn't sound like it, no.
No.
I mean, they're jazzing it up a little bit.
Right.
It sounds like they're trying to make it an experience like going to Willy Wonka's factory where you walk in and you're just overwhelmed by how cool everything is.
You know what? There was a lot in Willy Wonka's factory.
Mm-hmm.
Ice cream.
Okay.
And different things to eat.
All right, so far, no ice cream, just a payphone at this point.
So then you walk into the next room.
Mm-hmm. All right, and now there's nothing but ice cream.
And they make a big production out of, okay, we're going to open the door. Here you go. Let's go to the next room. And you go in the next room, and it's an art installation is all I can call it. It's like, what if an ice cream cone was 100 times as big as normal? What would that look like? And then there's just like giant ice cream cones and stuff hanging out of the wall, and there's no ice cream.
Yeah,
so
I hear there's.
And don't touch.
Don't touch the waffle cones.
Don't
or the cones. Okay.
So there are, according to Forbes, suspended bananas from the ceiling.
Hold on,
we're not there yet.
Oh, we haven't gotten the bananas.
Right. Oh, sorry, I didn't know.
So then you go into the next room.
Uh-huh. Okay, now there's lots of ice cream.
And there's a swing that you could get on. And I took a swing and I put that up on Instagram. And it's lame. And then they give you no ice cream. Then you move into the room of bananas. Now, this is what really killed me.
Okay.
Because this room, and I'm not exaggerating, is just a string with a plastic banana on the bottom of it.
This sounds awful.
The whole room.
No, sir.
Yes.
No.
Some of them are green, some of them are pink. And that's it. The whole room.
So like you go, great use of space.
Okay, well, this isn't interesting at all, but at least maybe I get some banana ice cream.
Sure.
No.
No.
No ice cream. I think I probably got two tiny little tastes of ice cream, and I probably took someone else's spoon and licked it. So I got pretty much that's the entirety that's of the ice cream that you get there. Now, wouldn't you think that you would have a lot more?
I would think there would be more ice cream, but I also think it's not a Baskin-Robbins that you went to.
It's a museum of ice cream.
It is a museum, though, first, it sounds like, and foremost.
Museum means a collection of older stuff, does it not?
No, it doesn't have to be, no. Oh, but a museum means more art than it does food, I think.
But does it mean 100% art and 0% food?
No, I think you have a right to be disappointed if there wasn't heaping helpings of ice cream available to you.
So then I'm heaping. Boy, that would be so great.
Look, when I went to the Dr. Pepper Museum in Waco, and I've been there twice, by the way, when you get to the end of the museum
part of it. Don't
put
me in your group.
No, but what I'm saying is when you get to the end of at that part, you can buy all sorts of Dr. Pepper. You can buy Dr. Pepper ice cream. You can buy Dr. Pepper gum. You can buy Dr. Pepper, you know, all kinds of different Frosties and everything else. There's lots of stuff Dr. Pepper E available. That should be the case with the Museum of Ice Cream. Once you've got your appetite whetted by seeing all the art about ice cream, God damn it, you want some ice cream.
Then you walk into the next room and it's a giant gummy bear.
What does that have to do with anything?
It's about 3 feet tall. Giant gummy bear.
Just one?
There's a couple. Okay. I think this is mainly an Instagram thing because it's not that fun to be there, but some of the stuff looks kind of cool.
Okay.
All right.
So then you walk from there, and then you go into the sprinkle pool. All right. This pool is filled with sprinkles. Now, first of all, everybody else has been in the sprinkles, so I'm not exactly sure how clean the sprinkles are.
Sure.
It's about 4 feet deep.
Okay.
So I laid down and had sprinkles all on top of me and took a picture.
Uh-huh.
And then I found sprinkles probably for another week in every orifice.
Oh, yeah.
It's not what you want.
Not what you want.
And then being the final step is you move in to the gift shop and you can buy a fake banana.
Oh, like the one you saw on the string?
You can buy a fake gummy bear.
Like the one you saw in that room?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can buy fake everything except for ice cream.
Do they not sell ice cream?
I had two tastes. And taste by your standards, not mine.
Yeah.
I mean, little tiny teaspoons of two things.
It sounds to me like you don't feel you got your $29 a ticket worth.
Oh, no, I loved it. $29. Right? Hey, what?
Yeah, you can't say that word.
Oh. Do we want the Olympics in Los Angeles?
No.
I think so.
Kevin,
you're missing the point here.
Why are you always on the wrong side of everything all the time?
Oh, isn't that a good question?
Can't answer that. I don't really know.
And it's funny because Bean is also always on the wrong side of everything all the time.
That's why we're a perfect couple.
It's the craziest show.
That's why
ever.
We were meant to be together.
No one's ever right on this show.
That's the weird thing about this is if you agree with Bean, that's bad. That means bad things for you.
Yeah.
Right.
If you agree with me, that means bad things for you.
Yeah.
Right. It's weird that way, but sorry.
We will we'll discuss and we'll try to dismantle whatever argument Kevin is going to propose to have the Olympics, to want the Olympics in L.A. coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
I bet you I know how his argument starts. But soccer, it's going to start with those words.
Exactly. Part of it.
Yeah. Sad news. The Christopher Big Black Boykin has passed away.
I was really bummed by that.
Me too.
Half of the famous MTV duo of Rob and Big, of course, which their show premiered in 2006, ended in 2008, but always very entertaining. Two really nice guys. You love to see their friendship together on that show. Big Black lived with Rob for years, but when he had a child, he kind of grew up and decided he was going to stop living with Rob. That's when the show ended, but they remained friends, and he would show up on Fantasy Factory or Ridiculousness from time to time. You would see him. 45 years old, he passed away. Now, he was a big boy. Rumors are perhaps heart attack or some other health issue. No official cause of death has been reported, but
we'll keep you posted. Regardless, that's sad news. Abby Lee Miller from Dance Moms. Remember Abby Lee Miller?
Sure.
She was the teacher, the dance teacher on Dance Moms. And she recently threw a hissy fit and said, I'm not going to be on this show anymore. I'm not going to be treated like this. Well, she made a good choice because now she's going to jail.
Oh, I'm sorry?
Yeah, she's going to be spending some quality time behind bars after being sentenced to 1 year and a day in federal prison.
Ha ha!
After pleading guilty to bankruptcy and multiple charges of fraud. She allegedly hid more than $755,000 in earnings from her Lifetime reality show during her bankruptcy hearing. Yeah, you can't really claim you're bankrupt when you have $750,000 stashed under your mattress.
Not good work.
No. It's a bad look.
Wow.
Bad look, Dad's mom. So
that's shockingly stupid.
She will be going to jail. And so I don't think the Dance Mom producers are really missing her that much.
Would it be appropriate to revisit Beer Mug interviewing her?
Yeah, it was very in-depth, and I think they kind of touched on this matter, as a matter of fact.
Abby Lee Miller from Lifetime's Dance Moms here at the Teen Choice Awards. What is it like being a dance mom, being coined as a dance mom? Is that a good thing?
I'm not a dance mom. Do you watch the show?
What are you?
I'm the dance teacher. I own the studio. Yeah.
You have kids?
No.
I'm so sorry. I can't lie, but tell the K-Rock audience a little bit about the show and myself, who haven't seen it.
And I'm on Muggs' side.
Tell them about the show and myself.
That was stellar. That's some of his best work.
That's good work.
Why are you on Muggs' side?
Because she's just a dick. That's why.
But if you're going to interview something, should you know, at the very bare minimum, should you know what they do on the show that you're talking to them about?
And can she be the least bit nice and go, you know what, this guy doesn't understand exactly what the show is. I assume most people don't, just roll with it. She just seemed like a dick, not to you.
Most people don't, and it's a very popular reality show. And if the guy wants to interview you, if he's stopping you to interview you, he must have a passing knowledge of
what you do. How many people has Beer Mug interviewed who has been that bad, and they've been nice to him? Almost all.
Yeah, unnecessarily so.
Yes.
Like, people who had to go out of their way to be nice
to
him.
Right, but
that was a legitimate response on her part.
But they all do. Except for her.
Yeah.
So jail.
No, that's not why she's
in jail. I think that's why she's in jail.
No.
Yep.
Not at all.
Yep.
Here's good news for Bean and his people.
Oh, tell me.
The house in St. Louis where Chuck Berry lived for 8 years in the 50s is going to be converted into a museum.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I'll go. They're handing out.
What? Chuck wrote some of his biggest hits at 3137 Whittier Street in the Greaterville neighborhood, where blacks were allowed to own property in segregated St. Louis at the time. Tina Turner lived there, as well as Josephine Baker and Dick Gregory and Arthur Ashe. A lot of people lived in that neighborhood. And so the home will be part of the Chuck Berry Cultural District, which will spotlight the area's African-American history. Chuck died in March, of course, at 90, but his home will be converted into a museum, and it will have more bathrooms in it than any other building in that neighborhood. And, of course, glass walls in all the restrooms.
Oh, dear.
And apparently, it's an interactive museum.
Nope.
When you sit down on the toilet at the museum,
why do you have to go there?
It kicks off a recording, apparently, in the seat.
Why can't we just remember him as the man who invented rock and roll?
And you can't get out of the restroom until you quote it with him. You have to say it along with him.
That's right. And then when you leave the bathroom and you go to the gift shop, they have the photos waiting for you there. It's like on Splash Mountain, you know, of what you looked like. It's taken from underneath the toilet. That's where that was Chuck's favorite view.
No.
That was his favorite. His favorite POV was right there from underneath. That's what he liked.
Will we ever stop piling dirt on the poor man's grave?
Are we making this up?
Did he do that? Did he rig the bathrooms in his restaurant with cameras in the ladies' room?
If you're asking if he was convicted of that, yes, he was.
We weren't even asking that. We were just asking if he did.
But
I'm just
saying, isn't that the tiniest part of his legacy?
I mean, it's nowhere near peeing on hookers,
right?
If that's what you're saying.
Yeah, you're saying that is a much larger part of his legacy. That's true.
But shouldn't rollover Beethoven eclipse that? That's what I'm asking.
I don't know. I think this trumps it.
I think squat down Beethoven, Trump's roll over Beethoven.
Bean, will you go to that?
Yes,
I'll go to that.
Oh, Chuck Berry Museum, are you kidding me? Absolutely.
Love Chuck.
Yeah, you do.
Don't fart for like a month before you go.
Don't buy the air freshener at the gift shop, is all I'm saying.
This is the worst.
I'll pass. He was the worst.
Right?
Look, he was a bad dude who made good music.
He wasn't a perfect man.
He was a bad dude.
But what matters is his contribution to music. That's what matters.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
So the only thing that matters about O.J. Simpson is that he played football.
Right.
2,000 really yards in a season.
Ran really fast.
Let's never forget that.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bono's 57 years old today. Odette Annable is 32 years old. Ryan Getzlaff, captain of your Anaheim Ducks, is he's 32. Let's get him a birthday win tonight. What do you say, Chip?
Yeah.
You going?
I'm still going.
All right. Do your job.
Chip is practically the mascot now at Honda Center. Her and Wildwood.
They may put her in.
Didn't Getzlaff tell you last time he was on he expected you to be there? It's the least you could do?
Yep.
Kenan Thompson from SNL is 39 years old today. And Young MC is 50. Nothing, huh?
We got to get a little Busta Move up in here, right?
I was expecting that, but no Busta Move, huh?
I got Ducks here ready to go.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Well, we'll work on
got some Pennywise.
Busta Move. Oh. Hey, there we go.
Stone Cold Munchin'. Music comes small,
Stone Cold Munchin'.
But then you ate so much, you nearly split your pants. A girl starts walking, guys start gawking. Sits down next to you and starts talking. Says she want to dance because she likes the groove. So come on, Fatso, and just bust the move.
Yeah.
Great song.
Great tune. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So let's see if we can have just a conversation where people don't yell.
Oh, no.
Is that cool?
Nope.
Let's lay some ground rules.
Are you wrong?
No.
Then I can't not yell.
Here's what's going on, you guys. This is a big day because the IOC, International Olympic Committee's Evaluation Commission, is touring L.A. today.
Go home! Go
tomorrow
home,
and Friday.
Home, go home.
And then next week, they're going to do 3 days in Paris. Those are the two cities left trying to get the Olympics for 2024.
Oh.
So we're supposed to be rolling out the red carpet and impressing these efforts, I guess, because we want them to pick us. Oh, pick us. We want the Olympics, right? So that's what's happening. Here's a little bit more on the story.
Just two cities left in the big race, L.A. and Paris. L.A.'s big advantage, all the stadiums you could possibly want. Like the Rose Bowl here, it would house the Olympic soccer games. You have the new Rams Stadium just 2 years away from opening. You know, the local Olympic organizing committee is hoping to show them all off this week.
The city of Los Angeles has so many great venues.
It's going to be a busy week for LA 2024's Janet Evans. The former Olympic gold medalist will be showing off the city to the International Olympic Committee's Evaluation Commission.
So that's happening.
That's happening.
Yeah.
Now, most of us reacted with horror when we realized this week was upon us because we were thinking, oh, my God, we please have an earthquake, just something to send these people home, right?
Scare them away.
Just something to scare these people away. But Kevin is over there in the corner going, ooh, I want it. Ooh, yes.
That'd
ooh,
be
yes,
great.
Please.
I'd love to have the Olympics in my neighborhood.
I would like that.
Yeah. And I I can't understand how you think it's a good idea.
First of all, I've gone to a Summer Olympics before, and it was great. It was in Atlanta.
Good. Go to the one in Paris, then. Enjoy yourself. Let the rest of us have our lives.
We're delighted to see you go to Paris and have a great time at the Olympics in 2024.
It was good fun. There's a lot of great events that you would like to go see.
Go and enjoy that wherever it's held that's not
what
here.
What if it's here?
No.
Look, I understand that that the traffic probably is the 100% the reason you don't want
to.
No.
Okay.
No, it's the taxes.
It's the money.
Yeah, it's everything.
Oh, we got a lot of money.
We don't have a lot of money.
What?
We're good.
You want to take our money and throw it at an Olympic Village rather than throwing it at
problems?
My potholes?
Yeah, look at
right?
that. Potholes.
Right? Horrific.
Right?
Allie has a huge bottle.
Thank you for noticing.
Skid Row or any other number of the blights and issues that are plaguing this city right now.
But I'm just saying that there are a lot of sports that you would enjoy seeing. Basketball, no?
They're,
basketball?
There's still television, right? Soccer, they still have television?
Yeah, but it's not the same. You know that. You know, it's not the same.
Basketball, by the way, is exactly the same in real life as it is on television. Exactly the same.
But, Kevin, to get back to money for one second, you have a ton of money in front of you. Do you want to use it for cameras to put on LAPD officers, or do you want to use it so that we can have rowing? I mean, honestly, these are the kinds of choices we're making here.
That's a bogus question because there's
That's exactly the question we're facing.
There's not really all the money in the world.
That there's a judo stadium, or do you want to make sure that people get fed?
Why do you hate people?
Judo?
Yes.
Isn't judo in the Olympics?
Yes, no. It is.
I that was my choice.
Oh, I see.
But I was just kidding.
And let me also throw this out, and we're clearly not going to have enough time for a proper discussion on this. We may have to bank this for another day. But let me also throw this out. History. Look at all the other cities in the last 30 years that have hosted Olympics, and look at what happens after those Olympics are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
What happened when they were here before?
I was like four.
I don't know either.
It was
1984.
It was a different world. Okay. Different world we lived in.
I didn't know if it was the same thing where they build all these new stadiums and then they just go to waste or whatever, but it seems like we do have a lot of arenas.
Well, and Rose Bowl is definitely ready to hold that.
Yeah.
Come on.
With their wooden seats.
Where's that money coming from,
Kevin?
They're
parking 2.5 miles away.
They're going to have to revamp all of that stuff. Yeah. The Coliseum, revamp.
I just say there's a lot of interesting things that comes with the Olympics that I would like to see. There's a lot of it.
But every city that hosts it, though, after the fact, they always lose money. They always go into it thinking they're going to make a ton of money, and they never do.
Yeah,
with that attitude.
No, not with that attitude. With those economics.
I lived in an Olympic city. I lived in Park City, and that's when there was the Salt Lake City Games, Utah.
Okay.
It was a mess. Well, that Olympics was a mess anyway when Romney had to step in and handle everything because it's just so corrupt and so creepy and weird. I will say this, though. If you bought property before the Olympics, great, because it tanked. Once the Olympics left, there was nothing.
Wow.
It was awful.
Look at her
anger
face.
I have no home anymore.
Listen to that voice of anger.
Let's talk to Dan for one second. Hey, Dan.
Hey, good morning, guys.
You remember the Olympics in 84 when they were here?
Yeah, and here's the thing. I hate to say it. I'm on Kevin's side.
Right? Everybody starts with, I'm on Kevin's side. They always start that with, I hate to say it.
Okay, explain why.
It's a track record, but... It's 84 Olympics. People were afraid of the traffic, so everyone stayed home. They used mass transit. It was like Armageddon. The freeways were empty, actually.
So it was better than average.
Except for the fact that L.A. now has 2 million more people than they did 40 years ago.
That's in 84.
That are going to stay home.
And Peter Ubroth is not running this.
No, that is true. But the proportion would still stay home. Some would still go. But we have more venues to go to. We have more options on how to get there. We have expanded our freeway systems as well a little bit in the meantime. And if we can add more corporate sponsorship, which I know we will, like we did in 84, 84 Olympics is one of the only ones that made a profit.
Boom!
Yeah, but the people who ran 84 will not be running this one.
Oh. Maybe better ones will. Who knows?
Right?
Maybe. I mean, Martians might come down and compete in a lot of those events, too. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yes.
It's really up in the air. All right, thank you for the call.
But our city will still be invaded by smelly foreigners, though, too, right?
All right, Mr. President.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
I mean, yes.
What about?
By the way, between 8 and 8:30 this morning, you definitely want to be listening. First of all, it's Wednesday. That means we'll spin the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices. And then right after that, we'll give you tickets to join us at the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2017. This time, tickets in the third row.
What?
So now it's getting crazy, right?
That's very close.
So that's all coming up between 8 and 8:30. Now, first, though... And I hesitate to do this because I know how Kevin is, but I'm going to play this.
Due to mature adult content, parental discretion is advised.
All right, just one warning is enough, Kevin. There's no need to play 300.
All right.
But we are getting into an area that perhaps isn't appropriate for all the little children's.
So yesterday...
Well, maybe it's a good time for me to mention that parents with small children listening... might want to be aware that this particular talk is intended for a more mature audience.
Okay, thank you,
Chip. I swear to God, if you don't grab his hands and hold them behind his back, do not let him sabotage this segment.
Go ahead.
So yesterday...
I'm waiting. So yesterday what?
I said to the room, I said, would you click on this article? Man has eel removed...
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
I swear to God.
All right, I promise that's the last one.
Let the lady talk.
Would you click on this? Man has eel removed from body after prank went wrong and it swam up his anus. Oh. And everyone answered quickly, yes.
Hell
yes.
Yes.
Click on
hell
that.
Yes.
I mean, you sort of have to, don't you?
You have to.
After prank went wrong, I'm trying to think what the prank was intended to be.
Well, here's the thing, Bean. You know when you get mad that there's not enough information in an article?
Right. All the time.
This one, not enough information. But it states, initially it was believed the eel may have been inserted for sexual kicks. But now that doesn't seem to be the case. His friends inserted an Asian swamp eel into his backside, and then it swam into his body and disappeared. Holy crap, it's gone.
So how do we interpret backside? Is that like maybe they put it in his pants?
No, I'm thinking...
It doesn't sound like they're putting it... Because they were surprised that it swam where it swam. No?
I think it's...
You think they sort of knew?
Yeah, they knew.
So
whether
wait,
they were going to just stick it in a little bit and pull it out...
It's the worst prank ever.
It's a terrible prank.
Good.
And by the way, if this guy is, again, forgive me, children, but if this guy is getting off on having an eel down there, why? What are his friends doing around?
Like well, that's why they determined it's a prank.
They're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So, okay, so did the friends intend for the eel to swim where it swam, but then where it went bad is that then it didn't come back out.
It was just gone.
Then it
vanished.
They
said it swam into his body. Disappeared.
Oh,
it was gone.
And that's super bad news, right?
It's not great. So,
was he blacked out or was he fully aware of what's going on?
Don't none of that information.
Give us some info.
I know. Well, there is video footage.
Okay.
Where the hospital in China, it shows the medics having found the animal inside the man's body using an endoscope.
Okay.
They then lift it out of him. They remove the eel, and it's still squirming and twitching.
Oh.
Yeah. So very concerning. However, like weird things are happening in China because last month, another guy got an eel stuck up his backside. He had put the 2-foot eel up there in a bid to cure himself of constipation. I mean, if that's what you have to tell yourself.
That's it?
Yeah.
But, a little chocolate eel and you're all right?
Oh,
is that what we're saying?
But that's, I don't know what the prank is. Like, videotape this of us putting an eel there. And then you just let go and it's gone.
We talked about this yesterday and I think we all sort of agreed that the whole prank is a cover.
Yeah.
I think.
Possible.
I mean, we're all guessing, of course.
Possible, for sure.
But what kind of prank is that? Where did they put it that it had access? Right? It had to be in his pants.
Right.
His underwear or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, maybe him saying it's a prank gone wrong with my friends is just his cover story. Because it was clearly some sort of eel orgy going on. But it did get us into the topic of pranks gone wrong. There are a lot of times where people try to play a joke on you. And it fails miserably. And worst case scenario, somebody gets hurt as a result of it, right?
Just added to Weenie Rose, this eel orgy.
Awesome.
So what kind of stories are we looking for? What do you imagine?
Just pranks gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Pranks. You tried something.
Mm-hmm.
It was either tried on you or you did it on somebody else.
Yeah.
And it went south quick. And that's what we're looking for.
Yeah. Like you light your friend's fart on fire and then all of a sudden your hair's on fire. Like that kind of thing.
Sure.
That happened.
Why did your hair that close?
Just saying. Well, I mean, it expels gas, and then it kind of gets you.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were to do that,
I mean,
I wouldn't.
I've seen Corolla do it 75 times.
Sure.
Yeah, because he's Corolla.
Yeah.
All right, 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. Looking for pranks gone wrong. You tried something, you thought it was going to be funny, and it turns out that it wasn't. For a minute, and then later it was way funny. Because imagine the story these guys are going to tell for the rest of their lives.
Right?
Hey, remember the eel? That's all they have to say.
Thing was gone.
So you call now. We'll take your calls today. All right, just before the 1975, let's squeeze in one call, shall we?
Yes, we're talking about pranks gone wrong. Katie is on the line. She's in La Cañada, and she is up on line 3. Hey, Katie.
Hi.
What'd you do?
So we tried to do the thing where you stick someone's finger in water to make them pee while they're asleep.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
We left the hot water running for too long, and it ended up being like boiling hot water. And she ended up getting really bad burns all over her finger and hand. And
So the water was so hot it burned her, but you couldn't tell that when you were walking over to her bed and putting her finger in it?
No, because we were just holding like the top of this little like jar thing we had found. We weren't holding the entire thing. We just kind of were trying to be gentle and quiet about it.
That is a bad, bad surprise and a terrible way to wake up. By the way, did she also pee in addition to getting second-degree burns?
smile. She did.
So you're so disappointed.
What a bummer.
All right, Katie, keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for the call. We'll take yours coming up after the 1975 on K-Rock. We are taking our calls at 1-800, taking your calls, I should say, at 1-800-520-1067. You can also text at the same number, by the way, if you want to weigh in on this topic. It's Pranks Gone Wrong. Sarah has been very kind to call and hold on in Northridge. I think she's got a good one. Hey, Sarah, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hi, thank you. So my story, I was a college soccer player, and we like to prank each other on road trips. And on one of the road trips, the girls decided to give me a morning ice bath to wake me up.
Oh, okay.
And they were going to cover me in baby powder to make it sticky and annoying.
Right.
But I got up and ran from them because cold. And when I got to the other side of the bed, the girl with the baby powder poured it on my face right as I looked up and took a deep breath in. So I got a lung infection.
Oh no.
Which is not great for a soccer player.
Not great for a soccer player. No, on a road trip, and we had a game, and yeah, it wasn't good.
Were you able to play?
I was able to play because it would take a lot for me back in those days to not play a game.
Right.
But I would cough, and I felt like powder was coming out of my mouth as I was coughing.
Where is there baby powder coming out of your mouth when you cough?
How bad did your teammates feel about that?
Well, so the girl that had done it was my roommate for the trip, and every time I coughed, I just heard, sorry. I felt horrible. Like, I would cough all night, and I'm sorry. Uh-huh. They felt horrible. They didn't want to do that.
Thank you for the call, Sarah. We really appreciate you listening. Let's go to Reseda. Let's get George on the air. He's line 4 up next on the Kevin and Bean Show talking pranks gone wrong.
Hey, George. I almost called him the city.
What's going on, George? What happened?
All right, so I work in construction. We made a hold on either side of the drywall or of the wall to run electrical. And I told one of my workers that my keys fell in the hole and my arm didn't reach. So I asked him to go for it. He went for it, and my boss on the other side grabbed his hand and started pulling and yanking his hand.
And, that's terrifying.
I started
freaking
out, started yelling, started like crying for God and everything. And then he started having a heart attack.
Oh, no.
He started holding his chest, and like, he started collapsing. And then we both ran to him. He turned out to be fine. He just had, I'm guessing he had a panic attack. We took care of everything. And he was a good friend of ours, so he didn't press charges.
How lucky were you that your boss was in on it?
Yeah, no kidding. Right? No kidding.
It's his idea.
Oh.
Your boss is the best.
Poor man.
Yeah, once pranks move into heart attack territory, not so much fun. Thank you for the call, George. Let's go to Porter Ranch, please. Line 5. Okay, go ahead.
Doing? Party people.
Good, what's
good,
going on?
Good. So, yeah, April Fool's, a couple years back, my sister and I were in college living with my parents. And then I decided in the morning to take my sister's car, park it in the street from the driveway, and then a few hours pass, sister wakes up, goes to like start up her car, not there. Then I wait about an hour, you know, this and that. They think that, you know, someone stole the car. So then I had to get her in on it. And then we go to the car, and they towed it.
You're trying to do the old comedy of moving the car so that she thinks it's stolen, and then it ended up actually being taken away because it was illegally parked.
And we had to pay $550 and spend half the day at the tow yard.
Fantastic. That's a prank gone wrong right there. All right. Appreciate the call, Victor. We got time for one more, Kevin. Who do you like?
Oh, man.
I know. We got so many, right? Yeah. So good.
I don't want to do 6 because we talked a lot about poop already.
Why don't we do Mark in Corona? He's on line 1. He's baby Kevin.
Okay. Hi, Mark.
Hey, good morning.
You're baby Kevin, apparently. Sorry.
That's what I've been told.
What'd you do?
In grade school, around 6th grade, it would get foggy out into the field, so I had the bright idea of going out there with a slingshot, and I was shooting rocks just, like, out into the fog.
Not knowing if there was anyone or anything you were going to hit?
Well, it was really early in the morning, and I guess I didn't think that far ahead, but I did end up hitting some kids and supposedly a teacher, but I really don't think I hit that teacher. But anyway, they suspended me.
You think a teacher just showed up and said, you know what, I got hit by a rock today? You know what?
Yeah.
You're making that up. There's no way.
I did hit some kids. They brought the kids into the office and were, like, showing me some bruises on their heads. They're like, you did this. I'm like,
How did they know it was you?
Well, I caught red-handed with the slingshot.
Well, what's wrong with you? That. Dump the slingshot.
If you're going to be Baby Kevin, be right. Baby Kevin and cover your tracks.
Be smarter. Be better. Thank
you're
you for
telling me Kevin would cover his tracks?
That's a good point. I would not cover my tracks, no. Thank you for calling.
I don't think I need to be chipped.
Yep.
Seems extreme. How many key cards have you lost since you've been working at
Kilo? I mean, we've had this conversation before.
100, maybe?
I mean, dozens, right?
50 easy. Okay,
go ahead. So the technology is here now. We were talking about this last week. I just thought of this. The technology is here now where they just put a little tiny chip, like in your, next to your thumb in your hand.
Yeah, so the man can watch me, right?
Trust me, you're not doing anything the man is interested in. Trust me. Who wants to watch a guy eat ice cream and watch soccer? The man is not interested in your activities.
That sounds awful. The idea of your perfect world, isn't it, Ralph?
And then you just wave your hand as you walk through the front door. You never lose another key card. It sounds perfect
for
you.
I mean, that'd be nice, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
There you go. All right. It is 7:54 Wednesday morning. The Wheel O Bad Animal Voice is straight ahead. And then your tickets to join us for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2017 in the third row. That's all coming up. First, Ralph's here with the showbiz beat.
Not to mention, when he goes a little more south, his wife can find him in the neighborhood when he starts just wandering around wearing his slippers outside looking for the ice cream museum. They can say, come on now, let's get back in the house.
No one needs a GPS tracker more than Kevin. How dare you?
It's an all Disney edition of the Showbiz Beat.
Oh.
A lot of Disney news today.
Okay.
For example, American Idol's coming back on ABC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do we need that?
No, we don't.
All right.
We really don't.
ABC, I don't know if you know this or not, is part of the Disney family.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so they've announced that the big auditions for American Idol are going to be held at...
Disneyland.
Disney World.
Disney World.
Come
Disney
on.
World in Orlando, Florida will
Synergy.
Be the host of the American Idol auditions for 2 weeks.
Didn't they used to travel around?
They did.
Yeah, okay.
Now, F you, come to us.
Wow.
Which I think is the best way to do it, because that's how you test somebody if they really want to be a singer. Uh-huh. If they're willing to go to Disney World. And also, Disney World's Magic Kingdom is having a really cool contest. If you are a girl who dreamed of having a fairy tale wedding, or at least you can have a fairy tale honeymoon, there is a hotel suite inside Cinderella's castle there in the Magic Kingdom in Florida. It's got an antique fireplace, a jacuzzi tub, 2 beds, and you can have a honeymoon there if you win this contest. Huh. They'll pay your airfare, your park tickets, or more. And if you go to the website, you can find out how to have your honeymoon at a very special night inside Disney World's Magic Kingdom.
That is going to be very popular.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Boy, are people going to go crazy for that.
Because Disney fans are the biggest hardcore fans in the world.
They really are.
And case in point, leading to my third Disney story, and this is actually pretty cool. They have rediscovered a thought to be long lost, hand-drawn first ever map of Disneyland.
Wow.
That Walt Disney himself drew up in 1953 to use as a visual aid in securing the financing necessary to develop Disneyland in California.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen, there's a great documentary PBS did about Disney. It's in 2 parts. I forget what it's called. It's like Disney, A Man in His Dream or something like that. But they talk about the fact that even as successful he was with his animated films in the early 50s, he had this idea for Disneyland, and there was no way he could come up with the money. He took all the money out of the studio. He refinanced his house. He mortgaged his house. And he still didn't have enough money.
Wow.
So he had to go hat in hand to investors. And he eventually went to the networks, the TV networks, and got a deal with ABC to do The Wonderful World of Disney. And all the advance money he got for that TV series that he was going to do for them, he put towards Disneyland.
Wow.
He had mortgaged himself to his last penny to build this park. There was no... If it had gone south, if it didn't work out, he would have been bankrupt and destitute for the rest of his life.
Wow. That's an amazing story.
Yeah. So he was meeting in New York with some investors, and he got with one of his artists from the motion picture division, and they went down to Disney Studios, and they spent a weekend. Walt was describing and drawing, and this guy was drawing what Walt was describing, and together the two of them came up with a hand-drawn, first-ever rendering of what he wanted Disneyland to look like. Well, this map has been discovered after all these years from 1953, and it's going up for auction in June.
That's pretty cool.
And they have no idea what a Disney file will be willing to pay for this, but they're assuming it'll sell for $1 million.
At least. Yeah. I would guess, yeah.
I hope they make prints of that and sell those. I'd buy one.
It'd be cool.
Back to you.
All right. We know Allie would buy one.
I think it would be really cool
Allie
to have.
Allie just wants to know how it will serve her.
Apparently, the Van Eaton Galleries in Sherman Oaks are the ones who are putting it up for auction, and they're going to do a big display. This is going up along with other costumes from Disney films and other Disneyana that will be up for auction in the same auction. So they are doing a display. I believe it's going to start in the end of May, beginning of June. Yeah, they're going to do a public view where you can see all these items in person at their galleries in Sherman Oaks. So I will keep you posted. But if you're a Disney fan, that's kind of a cool item.
No kidding.
That's a one-of-a-kind faux show. And that's your Disney edition of the Showbiz Beat. Today's celebrity birthdays, Odette Annable. She's 32 years old today. I sure would like to know how to say her name. I should look that up.
I mean,
because it sounds like I'm saying it wrong every time I say it.
This is the third report that you've done.
I know.
So.
And I'm well-intentioned. After I read her name, I say, I'm going to go look into that. And then,
kill you.
Squirrel. I see something.
Just give it to somebody else to do.
I get distracted. Yeah. 32 years old today. Ryan Getzlaff. Captain of your Anaheim Ducks. Big game 7 tonight. Woo! Go Ducks. 32 years old today. You guys got to root for the Ducks, right?
Come on, Kevin.
Everybody, Southern California has to be rooting for the Ducks.
I want Chip to be happy.
Mm-hmm. You're the worst.
That's it. Here's the thing. I would, as a hockey fan, like them to turn around this Game 7 jinx that they have. I would like to see that.
Great.
I would like
Good.
To see them play the Predators.
Can't you
I will
just
root
stop
for
there?
The Predators.
Can't
you,
oh, why
I'm
do
just
you have
saying,
to be that
just
mean?
Saying.
She took it a step
why
further than me.
Why can't you be nice?
I want them to win tonight.
Southern California represent.
No.
I like Chip. I like Ryan Getzlaff. We've
yeah,
talked to him many
great
times.
Guy.
I like him. I hope he's a great series and loses.
What is wrong with you?
You don't want him to lose.
You don't have
tonight,
a dog
though.
In this fight. Why do you care you, whether
you
they
don't
win
want
or
him
lose?
To lose tonight.
Why not err on the side of win?
I'm fine with Allie's thing of if they play Nashville, then they end up losing. I'm
the
fine
Kings
with that.
Are out of it. Why do you care?
I don't know.
So out of it.
Really out of
really?
It.
I mean, yeah. The Kings were never
I mean,
in it.
So
right.
Out of it.
So
yeah.
Why can't you just not, move your prejudice to the side and appreciate another Southern California team doing well?
No. Can't do it.
You're evil.
I mean, isn't the answer as simple as, Kevin, you have spent an entire hockey season rooting against the Ducks because you're a Kings fan.
Season?
So you can't just
but
focus
you don't have
on
to root against the Ducks to root for the Kings. They're not mutually exclusive.
They are.
They're really not, though.
No, but they are.
They're not even like a big rivalry.
I mean,
it's not even
I
a
mean
big
they're
rivalry.
No Canucks. They're no Sharks.
Right.
Canucks and Sharks are worse.
Yeah.
Right.
For Kings fans. I'm just saying, okay, if Allie's plan comes through and they win tonight and they reverse
then
the Game 7
PK.
Thing. And then, right, and then Nashville beats them, I'm good with that.
Evil bastards. Kenan Thompson's 39 years old today. Bono turns 57. And young MC is 50.
High class luncheon. Mm-hmm. Food is served in your
stone cold munching.
As it comes warm, people start to dance, but then you ate so much, you nearly split your pants. A girl starts walking, guys start gawking, sits down next to you and starts talking. Says she want to dance because she likes the groove, so come on,
fatso, so and just bust a move. Yeah.
Young MC, by the way, let's not forget, also wrote Wild Thing for Tone Loc.
Yeah.
Remix!
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with me.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 8 o'clock. What are you laughing? What are you jumping up and down for?
And grabbing
I
it.
I didn't take care of my business well, before
let go
this
of
segment
it.
Started.
Let go of it.
All over the floor?
You're an adult. No, with your hands.
I didn't do the pee-pee dance.
Also, Ralph has to pee right now.
Yeah.
So we should
badly.
Take our time getting into the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices is what you're suggesting.
Right.
What does Ralph have to do with it?
Or cancel it. Right, I don't need to be here.
Every Wednesday we do the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Boo!
And the kids love it.
I don't hear any
we
kids
put
loving
all
it.
Real stories. We put all real stories on the wheel, we spin the wheel, and then we decide to follow up on one of the stories. All right, here are the stories that are on the wheel today. The rugby-playing goose.
Come on.
F that goose.
So good.
Right?
The CIA cat spying on Russia.
Oh, that's very timely right now.
Cat.
The rat with two heads.
What?
Like, rats aren't bad enough. Now we need two-headed rats?
The drug-addicted monkey deported from Kuwait. By the way, every week there's some kind of monkey
deported
that's drunk.
Where, by the way? Where did that monkey get deported
to? I don't
know.
I don't have all the details here.
Oh, pipe down.
We'll have to wait until it lands on it.
Yeah, if it lands on that, then we find out. That's why we do this segment, Ralph.
Kianda, the 410-pound dancing gorilla.
Oh, cute.
I'm not positive that we want it to land on the human-eating deer.
Oh, the human-eating deer is a terrifying story, you guys. Terrifying.
And the beehole eel. So those are the stories that are on on the wheel today. Shall we spin the wheel?
No. Yes. No.
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't know.
It's going to be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time
I'm torn, Allie. How about you? Who are you hoping it lands on here?
Kind of the monkey.
All right.
Let's you guys notice that we did take off Piggy Smalls.
Piggy Smalls is the illest, and he's
been
also
a problem, Kevin. Right. People are up in arms.
There's been a revolt about Piggy Smalls not being on the wheel, but let's see what it lands on today here.
The two-headed, the rat with two heads.
Oh!
Okay.
The rat with two heads.
Now, you may be asking yourself, Kevin Bean, why does a rat have two heads? Here's what's going on. There is a guy that we have talked about on this show before who is apparently a well-respected Italian surgeon. His name is Sergio Canavero, and he has been making the news a lot in the last couple of years because he says he is going to perform successfully the first ever human head transplant.
Firsties. You take a number or something?
It's not being offered yet.
I don't think it's available yet. So he says he's got a system. He has figured out a way to do it successfully, to transfer a head onto somebody else's body. Okay. Now, there's another surgeon in China who is using Dr. Canavero's technique to build up to this, and he is performing head transplants right now on rats, and they are successful, ladies and gentlemen.
But this has two heads.
Yes.
Yeah, which one works?
This is what they both work. This is what this guy in China did, all right? He cut the head off of a rat. I hate it too, but I understand why, you know, you make progress in surgery by testing on.
Hey, I'm fine with it so far. Go ahead.
All right. He cut a head off on a rat and then figured out a way to transplant it onto the body of another rat that also has his own head. So now this rat has two heads that both work. Their little eyes work. Their little mouth works. The blood supply works. They've hooked it all up. So this rat literally has a head on top of his head.
As repulsive as this is, that's amazing. Yes.
It is unbelievable. It is. Unbelievable technology. Yes. The doctor in China, by the way, is now expecting to move on to monkeys as the next
step. Yes.
So now if China doctor's doing it and an Italian doctor's doing it, now it's like a race to see who can be the first to try and successfully transplant a human head. But this is where we're at, is a two-headed rat. And we asked Dave if there's any way we could talk to somebody on this story. And I'm not sure exactly who we have. Do we have the Chinese doctor? Who's on the phone there, sir?
Hey, how's it going?
What's happening,
guys? It's the rat with two heads.
They're both talking.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying.
Hi. How are you? How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good. Yeah. We got this guy right next to me. We can't stop all the time. It's amazing.
It must have been a bad surprise for you to wake up and realize that your head was transplanted onto another rat's body.
Well, not ideal.
Shut up.
So is one of you happy?
Well, I mean, you can't imagine that he's really happy. Yeah. We have one guy who tries to make all the decisions, and the other guy just hanging up his back, and we were table for hours. I don't know if we can find a way to settle things.
Awesome. I could talk to you two all day.
You haven't said a word. You've been laughing the whole time.
I didn't hear you say anything.
This was a success.
Man.
Ellie has many questions unanswered about the two-headed rat.
She does. She really does.
It's like doing magic tricks for the developmentally disabled. Best audience
ever. Every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're giving you two chances to win your tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2017. One of them's coming up at 9 a.m. The other one is right now at 1-800-520-1067. In the third row, you'll win these tickets, and that's why the game is called Oh Say Can You 3.
Ah. Oh Say Can You 3. Tickets to the Weenie. It's a roast and a fiesta. It's gonna be the best, but if you want to go, you must know your threes, yo.
All right, we got it.
Because this is Oh Say, can you three, let's go, Weenie.
Right.
Oh, thank God he's done.
I thought he was going for the whole shmiggy right there.
All right, Ralph, you are hosting, even though you still haven't peed yet,
yes.
So you're probably going to talk really, really fast. I How will. Does Oh Say Can You 3 go?
Oh Say Can You 3.
Because there are tickets in the third row, we thought we'd ask general trivia questions that will have the answer 3 in the answer. Okay, the word 3 will be in the answer to all these general pop culture trivia questions.
Fair
so
enough.
We'll ask you a general pop trivia question, pop culture trivia question, and the answer will include the word or number 3. So you have to Oh Say Can You 3.
Oh Say Can You 3.
All right, simple enough. Who's our first contestant, please, Kevin?
Jessica in Mentone.
Hey, that's me.
Mentone, California.
Welcome.
Jessica, here's your question. Now, there's an audio clue in your question, okay? So after I stop reading it, listen up carefully, and we're going to play a little piece of audio.
Okay.
This song was featured on the classic Beastie Boys album, Hello Nasty. Here it is.
Cause nobody can do it like Mix Master can. Come on! I got the D-double-O style. Here we go again because it's been a while. Do me a favor, don't touch that.
Oh, great tune.
Oh, I miss the Beastie Boys so much.
Same.
Do you know what that song is?
3 MCs and 1 DJ.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, say can you 3.
Nicely done.
You are in the drawing.
All right, let's go to Jeremy and Corona. Hi there.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jeremy. This 1986 Western comedy starred Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, and Martin Short as the three title characters. Do you know the name of that film?
Three Amigos.
Three Amigos. Absolutely.
Look
well
at
done.
That. Nicely done.
You're in the drawing.
All right. Let's go to Jessica in Orange. Hi there.
Hey.
Hey, Jessica. Your question's also an audio clue, so listen carefully. In the classic Walt Disney cartoon, who was on the business end of this threat?
Open the door and let me in. And I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in.
Who's on the business end of that threat?
The Three Little Pigs.
Three Little Pigs.
Nicely done.
We are 3 for 3 in Oh Say Can You 3.
Oh Say Can You 3.
All right, let's go to Lauren in Panorama City. Good morning, Lauren.
Morning, party people.
Hi, Lauren. Although this classic, famous novel focuses on a young man named D'Artagnan trying to join the French Royal Guard. The title characters are the guardsmen Athos, Porthos, and Aramis. It's also the name of a candy bar, by the way. Do you know the name of this famous book?
That would be The Three Musketeers.
Well done.
Nicely done.
Our listeners know they're threes, man.
Yeah, they Oh Say Can You 3.
Oh Say Can You 3.
All right, next up is Greg in Whittier. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, what's going on?
Greg, audio clue for you as well. Listen carefully.
I'm sorry, will you ask what's going on?
Oh, say can you 3.
Audio clue for you, Greg, as well, so listen up carefully. This classic American comedy team was active from the 1920s through the late 1960s, best known for their 190 short films that are still syndicated on television. Here they are saying hi to you.
Hello.
Hello.
Who are they?
Yuck, yuck, yuck. The Three Stooges.
Oh, with the yuck, yuck, yuck as well.
All right.
Well done.
You're in the drawing. Hold on.
All right, let's go to Elijah in Whittier. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Elijah.
Oh, say can you three.
In 2006, this group won the Academy Award for Best Original Song at the 78th Academy Awards for their song It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp from the movie Hustle and Flow. Do you know who they are?
Three Doors Down?
Okay.
Good guess.
All right.
Good guess.
Look, that's a good guess.
That was a good guess. Yeah. Great guess. No, we're looking for the 3-6 Mafia.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Thank
that's
you.
All right. Good,
you
good
got
job.
Nothing to be ashamed
they,
about.
Do you
nice
guys
effort.
Remember good how try. Crazy a moment it was when 3-6 Mafia went up on the stage?
Everybody's yeah. eyes were like saucers at the Academy Awards. They've never seen so anything great. Like it.
All right. Let's go to Anthony in Redlands. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Anthony, audio clue for you as well, so listen carefully. This children's nursery rhyme and song dates all the way back to the year 1609. Here it is.
I think we get it.
I don't think you get it yet.
This song's been around for over 400 years.
Yes.
Holy moly.
What's the song?
That's Three Blind Mice.
You're right.
Yes, it is. All right, we got time for just one more, you guys. All right, the last one is Chris in Corona. Hi, Chris.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. Hey, Chris. Another audio clue, so listen carefully. This classic okay. ABC sitcom revolved around some young roommates in Santa Monica and their nosy landlord. Here is some of its famous and truly awful theme song.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his.
Three's company.
Are you kidding me?
Allie!
Are you kidding me?
Let the man answer first.
Yes, the three's a couple.
Yeah, it sure is. Allie for the assist.
Wait, hold on. I knew that already.
You said three's. You just said.
Let him answer again. Let him answer again. What was the answer, Chris?
Three's a couple.
Okay.
That's
no,
unbelievable.
See? That's wrong.
See?
That's unbelievable.
See? No. I don't feel so bad.
Oh, my Lord.
So Allie said the answer, sang it out, and then he got it wrong.
I mean,
and insisted
Chris,
he was right.
Chris,
I think you need to stop listening and perhaps fall on a sword.
I'll do it, too, because that was awful. I apologize.
All right. Sorry, Chris.
It didn't change the game at all.
Allie did everything she could to steal the election, but it's still...
Steve says, oh, he's right, he's ringing bells. It was just a cluster F.
Hey, Jessica and Jeremy and the other Jessica and Lauren and Greg and Anthony are all in the drawing. Somebody's going to win tickets in the third row for the sold-out K-Rock Winnie Rose Fiesta 2017. Miss Allie McKay, if you can be trusted to deliver this information, who is it, please?
Remember the two-headed rat, though?
Yeah.
That was good times.
Who won?
Greg!
Congratulations, Greg.
Nice. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, and thanks for playing the game.
Oh, say can you three.
Sex robots? Are we doing sex robots?
Not yet, no.
Is it time for sex
not
robots?
No. Nope.
When's that? When's that?
What just time after is that? 9, just half hour.
I can't wait.
Half hour from now.
Hey, former President Bill Clinton in the news, you guys. He has teamed up with James Patterson, who, by the way, I don't read Mr. Patterson's books. I guess he's written like 200 of them. He's one of the most prolific and best-selling authors in history. You can't be on an airplane without seeing about a dozen people reading a James Patterson book.
Yeah,
this guy churns them out. But he has decided to team up with former President Bill Clinton to write a book called The President Is Missing, which is actually kind of fascinating because, look, there's a lot of things we don't know about the real life being a president.
Right.
There's a lot of details involved in security and getting in and out of the White House and traveling and everything else that we don't have any idea because we've never been there and they don't usually share that kind of information.
But they don't share that kind of information because they can't.
I think some of it is right? that. Yeah, I think there's security reasons to not say some things. But just what's it like to be the president? And I think that is fascinating that that's what James Patterson is going to call upon the former president to get some insight into make this book sound different from every other book that he's written. And I'm tempted to even say I might even read it. And I don't.
Oh,
and
you'll
I don't,
read it. You love presidents so much.
I do love presidents a lot.
Yeah.
I don't read a lot of fiction, but this one sounds interesting to me. So what is Bill Clinton going to contribute to this book? We don't know, but we did ask Dave if we could get the former president on the line, and here he is, number 42, you guys, William Jefferson Clinton, back on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, Mr. President?
How much do you guys miss me?
All?
I mean, those were good times, sir. I'm not going to lie.
It's crazy, right?
Those were good times. Well, we didn't have you on to talk about politics today.
Because I don't want to talk about that.
Good, but
that's
this
all my rear view window.
Mm-hmm. Right. This announcement yesterday from Doubleday, though, that you and Mr. Patterson are teaming up, sounds kind of exciting.
It's really been a thrill to work with James Patterson. I'm a huge, huge fan of his mm-hmm. work. Mm-hmm. And to be able to work with him and team up together to work on a novel and write this story has just been really one of the highlights of
now,
my
life. How much of the writing are you doing versus James?
I'm doing a lot of it.
You are?
Yeah, oh. It's really a 50-50 collaboration.
Really?
I came to James with the idea, and he's helping me flesh it out, but a lot of the dialogue and the actual writing is mine.
Is what you're contributing based on anything that happened to you in real life during your time in the White House?
No, this is a completely fictional story about a president named Jeff Clifton.
And what's his name?
Jeff Clifton.
Jeff Clifton.
All right.
He's handsome, like a ladies' man type president. All the ladies want to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
Women want him.
Right.
Men want to be him.
Right.
Okay.
And he's got a wife
mm-hmm.
who is also a politician.
Oh.
Weird.
But
wow.
She couldn't beat a clown. There's an actual part of the story where a circus clown runs for president.
Right.
And he runs up against it.
And what's her name?
Her name is really not important.
Okay.
At this point. Millery.
And it's Millery. Okay.
So President Jeff Clifton has to become like a secret agent and go undercover to work for the United States because Russia's trying to hack into our elections.
All right, but this is it's not true, though. Nothing is true.
Completely fictional story.
Okay, all right.
It sounds a lot like what's going on right now.
The secret agent, President Jeff Clifton, mm-hmm. puts on his tuxedo and gets all of his special secret agent equipment.
Right.
And goes deep undercover, and that's why they think the president is missing. But he's actually he's traveling from London to Tangier to Abu Dhabi on the hunt of this sexy female secret agent called Monica Bluedress.
I'm sorry, the name again, Mr. President?
Monica Bluedress.
Bluedress. All right.
And
don't you have better people that could track her?
Well, no, because the president, he has an intimate knowledge of this secret agent.
Okay.
And she is carrying a secret microfilm in a cigar that he needs to find.
Right.
A cigar again. Yeah. All right.
Down the cigar and find out where she could be hiding that cigar.
Right.
And he has to look high and he has to look low.
Right.
He's got to look really low.
Right.
Lower than that.
Okay.
And then he finds, you'll have to read the book to see whether he finds the cigar or not.
I think we know.
I'm afraid we do know, yes.
And then the wife dies. I don't know why, but it's just a happy ending for everybody.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:52.
All right. Time for our deep dive into sex robots. It was on the Channel 11.
Nope. Showbiz beat.
Showbiz
to the beat.
Just after 9.
How long are you going to put this off?
Just 15 minutes.
Showbiz beat.
You can wait. We'll you waited also, your whole life. You can wait 15 minutes.
Well, also,
can you imagine him with the pants down? Just waiting.
No.
I'm worried that they won't be here while I'm young enough to enjoy them, if you get my meaning. Hey, the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta is happening a week from Saturday. We got those tickets. You can win in 5 minutes. First, Ralph Sir with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Just really, really sad news for everybody who loves good acting, but for me personally, character actor Michael Parks has passed away at the age of 77. He was maybe the best actor whose name you didn't know. He was a favorite of filmmakers like Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez and who's the Twin Peaks guy?
David Lynch.
Yeah, he played the Frenchie on Twin Peaks. He was great on that show.
Yeah, he played Jean Reno, the French-Canadian drug runner on that show. And my buddy Kevin Smith was a big fan as well. And I got a chance to work with Michael in Red State and also in Tusk. And he was just a brilliant, brilliant actor and a great storyteller and a raconteur and a hard-drinking, hard-living guy. And some of my favorite memories are spent listening to him tell stories about Hollywood. He came to Hollywood in the early 60s, worked on television a bunch, worked with John Huston in the movie called The Bible, played Adam, the first man in that movie. That kind of set his career off, and he had a TV series
from 1969 through 1970 called Then Came Bronson, and he was a singer and a songwriter. Then he started working with Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez, and films like From Dusk Till Dawn and Kill Bill. He was in Kill Bill. He was in the Grindhouse films. Terrific, terrific guy and a great actor, and he will be missed. And he was a real talent and a real joy to be around. So
that's sad, very sad. I'm sorry for you, Ralph.
Yeah, I really, for some reason, Michael took a shine to me when we worked first together on Red State, and we hung around constantly on the set, and we were always laughing and having a great time. No, not really. And so I've got some great memories of spending time.
He was phenomenal in that movie, too.
Yeah, he's a terrific actor. Terrific actor. Also sad, Big Black Boykin has passed away, half of Rob and Big. He died yesterday, according to Variety. He was just 45 years old. He, of course, was Rob Dyrdek's best friend and bodyguard, and we saw him together for 3 seasons on Rob and Big on MTV. That sucks. And then when he moved out...
My mic was not on.
My mic was not on.
That sucks.
And then after Boykin moved out, they still would hang out together, and you see him once in a while in Fantasy Factory Ridiculousness on MTV. But at the age of 45, so just sad, sad news in the showbiz beat. Sorry to be such a downer. I'll tell you something that's better. That's more upbeat.
More upbeat? What do you got?
The 8th annual Monster of Rock Cruise hits the water in February 2018. They've just released the lineup for the Monster of Rock Cruise.
Okay.
February 11th through the 16th in 2018. Here's your lineup. I know you've been waiting.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Tickets go on sale today, noon Eastern, by the way. Noon Eastern. So 5 minutes here on the West Coast.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
MonstersOfRockCruise.com is where you want to go to all your info. Here's your lineup.
I think drum roll again, if you don't mind.
Lineup this for this 8th annual Monsters of Rock Cruise. Mm-hmm. Tesla.
Okay.
Now, Tesla, I'm trying to remember what they were named after. That was Tesla, the guy.
Come on now.
Is Tesla the guy invented the car? Is that what
everyone
call
knows
Tesla?
That.
This is a stretch.
Is it a stretch because the band's name is Tesla? Is that why it's a stretch?
Because the band Tesla had nothing to do with the car.
Well, what are they named after then?
Is that another moment with?
Holy crap. I don't want to look at him.
I don't want to look at him. Let's hear some Tesla magic. Could we please?
Can we play that?
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know, figures from history rap against each other. This particular one is Nikola Tesla, who, of course, came up with the Tesla automobile, and Thomas Edison. It's really weird to think that there's somebody somewhere writing a rap for the guy that invented the Tesla car.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Or AC. Alternating current.
Right.
Or that.
Right.
The girl that just sang the answer in a contest didn't even want to look at me.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
Hurts.
Tesla. Queensryche. Queensryche.
Oh. Okay.
Silent
Thunder.
Lucidity. Who?
Thunder.
I don't know them.
I don't
Thunder.
Know
Thunder.
Who's Thunder?
Thunder.
Thunder.
I don't know Thunder.
Thunder.
Why have I never heard of a band called Thunder?
Thunder.
All right.
Why do you keep saying the name Thunder?
Lita Ford.
Okay.
Ooh, Kiss Me Deadly.
Winger.
Oh, I had such the hots for
Winger.
Him, and I was only 17.
Kip.
Yeah.
Kip
Winger. Winger, and his chest was so hairy, and I was so into it.
Harry Kip.
Harry Kip. Harry Kip.
British Lion.
What?
British Lion.
Do you mean White Lion?
Shut up. British Lion.
Heavy metal band, sure.
Oh.
Doro.
Who?
I don't know Doro.
Doro
is the best cruise ever.
Kix.
Oh,
K-I-X.
Yeah. K-I-X.
Oh, I remember
Kix.
Yeah.
All right, we're back.
Y&T.
Nope.
Nope, they're legit.
Vixen.
Yes, all-girl band.
Great White.
Yeah.
Oh.
Really? Mm.
Yeah.
Check the
hope it's an
smoke detector.
Venue.
Yeah. It's a cruise.
That was my... Yeah. Okay.
Boats can still catch on fire, Kevin.
Right.
Kevin thought they were safe from fire because it's a cruise and they're surrounded by water. Bisto Blanco?
Are you still mentioning bands that we've never heard of?
Bisto Blanco.
Oh, don't know them.
Bisto
know them.
Blanco.
Yeah, White Beast.
Bisto Blanco. L.A. Guns?
Oh, stop it. With Janie Lane singing? Not Janie Lane. Who was the L.A. Guns singer? And then he left, but now he might be back with L.A. Guns.
Gunny McGee?
No.
Oh.
Like Phil
that
something.
Crazy
Phil,
if that was
Phil
the right
Lewis.
Answer.
Phil Lewis. Phil Lewis, yeah. I think
now he's in Bisto Blanco.
I once ditched school and went to the Sagebrush Cantina because pirate radio was having an acoustic set.
Your life is a nonstop whirlwind of fascinating stories.
Very sad.
And there's more. There's more bands, but they don't list them here. They just said more and
that's,
more.
That's a pretty good lineup if you're in that genre.
You're out of your tree.
It is. If you are into that kind of music, that's a pretty good lineup.
I don't know who any of those people are.
How do they say and more? Like, those names were the biggest ones. So that means the ones that they listed that are as and more? Yeah.
Bands that are less famous than Doro and Thunder are listed under the and more.
But guys, for the
Bisto Micro.
But for the average fan, you get a chance to see, you know, Tesla and Kix and, you know, some of those other bands.
Just
it's a pretty good deal.
No, it's not.
Shut up, boo!
All right.
Stop defending.
Come on now.
Stop defending the worst
group
ever.
I'm saying there's a lot of good big names on that. But there are more that are bad. But Winger?
And you get to be stuck on a boat with all the fans of Winger.
Well, maybe that's
I would wait outside Kip Winger's room. He was so
You wouldn't
hot.
Have to wait outside, Allie. The door would be open with a big sign saying, please come in.
Really?
Yes, and bring snacks.
I don't think he's dropped that much. Let me look him up.
Yeah, how's his hair looking these days?
Right.
It's been a few years since the, you know, he had the 80s Bon Jovi
sitting there in a wife beater with a gut. With a can of Pabst.
Oh, his hair is a lot shorter. A little bit of gray.
All right. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Dogwood.
Odette Hannibal is 32 years old today. We got it. We sourced that last name, so we got it right. Ryan Getzlaff, you're a captain of the Anaheim Ducks, turns 32 years old today. Go Ducks! Kenan Thompson from SNL is 39. Young MC turns 50. And Bono of U2 is 57 years old today. Bono may be one of the biggest music stars in the world. You'd have to have a lot of balls, I think, to hang up on a star the stature of Bono.
Come on.
From U2.
Sir, great to talk to you. We'll see you again in a little bit, all right?
We feel the same about you. Really do, K-Rock. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The world's biggest band. The smallest
club they've played in four. That was Kevin hanging up on Bono. That happened.
So he said, see you, Kevin. But before he could say see you, boom! Kevin's got no time for him.
I was in a rush.
Well, sure.
We had stuff to get to.
You had to do that documentary on Tesla you've been working on. I'm Ralph Garman. I work the show with Pete.
All this week on K-Rock, we are hooking you up with tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2017. And all day today, it's in the third row, you guys. Congratulations to David Ochoa from Fullerton. And thank you so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You just won your tickets in the third row. Your chance to win them coming up at noon and then again at 3 and 6 p.m. too. Get your details at krock.com.
All right, last night at 10 o'clock on the Channel 11 News, they did a feature on robots, and specific robots, sex robots.
Yeah, they did.
Which Bean has been dying for his entire life.
Look, there are two things I've complained about since I hit puberty. One is, where are the jetpacks?
Right.
And two is, where are the sex robots? Now, I have intentionally stayed away from this report last night because I'm hoping you bring me news of great tidings.
All right. Well, here is the report that was on the news last night.
Struggling to find a partner? How about a robot? No, seriously. The high-tech, modern-day versions are realistic, lifelike, and conversational.
Close your eyes. Wake up. Smile.
By the way, that's not conversational. That's just him giving her demands.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not saying, okay, I would love to. That's conversation.
No, but he's demonstrating that the voice activation in the robot, I assume, right? In other words, he says, close your eyes, and do you see the robot close your eyes?
Yes.
Oh, I like it.
But she said conversational, so I was thinking maybe there would be some conversation.
Well, let's find out. Let's see if the robot talks.
Her name is Harmony. She's a realistic-looking robot with soft skin and soothing voice.
The more you interact with me, the smarter I become.
She's capable of having a conversation, a romantic moment, and, well, you know.
I feel very secure with you next to me.
Harmony is a redhead with green eyes, but she can be blonde or brunette. Every detail can be customized.
Mm-hmm. So, Bean, what's your sex robot going to look like if every detail can be customized?
What is one of my sex robots going to look like? Is that what you're asking me? Or do you want me to describe all 100 of them?
If you have the money.
Now, isn't, look, the technology has come a long way in terms of realistic feeling materials, I would imagine. Things that feel more like skin, probably, than, you know, blow-up dolls right. in the past and whatnot. But what's fascinating to me about this, and I think this is the exact same thing that concerns you and others, Kevin, is this artificial intelligence, this same technology that we are now used to using in our phones or with our, you know, Amazon Alexa or whatever, the fact that you can talk back and forth and they learn how to have conversations with you the more you, you interact with them.
Right.
Is that what's concerning to you? Is that you feel that that blurs the line too much between machine and person?
The machine is going to be smarter than the person very quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been inevitable with computers for decades now. We have seen that coming. We have seen that we're now learning how to make computers right. that can think on their own.
But I you're going to be in a very vulnerable position when that happens.
So you're afraid the computer is going to turn on you.
Right.
I see.
My question, though, do people that want sex robots want conversation?
That's a good question.
I think they do because I think they are looking for as realistic an experience as it, as possible
okay.
to replace what would ordinarily the things that would be taken up by a human.
Yes. And here's the creator of the robot.
Matt McMullen is the creator.
The future is upon us for sure, and I think that it's inevitable that humans and robots are going to coexist.
His clients order them online, but they also send in photos to have customized dolls made. They are delivered in a large wooden box.
Oh, great. They come in coffins. How sexy. How sexy is that?
I mean, you want them to be protected and safe in shipping, I would think.
Now, Matt wants to take the doll success a step further with Harmony, combining the silicone doll with realistic robotics.
With the advent of talking to our phones, like we all do, all of a sudden, the possibility became very real.
The technology is similar to personal assistant software like Siri and Alexa.
Oh.
Except this one is more advanced.
Ours will be customizable in the sense that you can choose traits in the personality that will influence your interactions. And there are going to be moods in place. So if you interact with her more frequently and you interact in a positive way, you're going to get more positive feedback. If you don't interact with her very often, she'll actually become a little sad.
So she's she's an effing needy robot.
What?
No,
like you're
please.
Not paying attention. Then you're like, "What's wrong, sweetie?" And I'm fine.
Can't you program her to be happy no matter what?
I would hope so.
She'll be sad.
No.
I don't need to talk my robot out of being sad.
What's wrong? Nothing.
This is too realistic is what this is.
There are some viewers who will see this and have a negative reaction. What do you say to those people?
I think that people do have a knee-jerk reaction when they consider the subject matter. They think, you know, that's so strange or that's so out there. I don't see a lot of danger in it. At the end of the day, we really are focusing on the positive benefits of interacting with technology and how can we use that technology to help people.
All right. Now, this is the important part that I would like you all to listen to again, and that is they're trying to help people who...
To help people who may be emotionally suffering or lonely.
Matt says the majority of his customers struggle with human connection.
Look, struggle with human connection.
I mean, that's not me because I can get all the bitches. You know that. But for some, yeah, this might be the last resort. Might be a great idea for them.
He believes that is the reason he sells more than 600 lifelike dolls a year.
600, and they cost $6,000.
Good for him.
I mean, they can't be cheap to make either. By the way.
They start at nearly $6,000 and go up depending on what the customer wants.
Most of the sales are within the U.S.
All right. Most of the sales are within the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
She mentions two states.
Okay.
What would you guess those two states are?
Don't even say it.
I would say Utah.
I didn't say it. She said it.
I would say Utah and Florida.
Two states. You would say Utah and Florida. All right. You're right on one of them.
Okay.
Texas and...
Oop, I'm sorry. You're not even right on one of them.
Just kidding.
Nope. Because okay. That's not the one I'm focusing on.
Texas and Washington State.
Oh, Washington State. How about that? Washington State buys more sex robots than any other state.
Guys, I got to go. A large wooden box is being delivered to my front porch right now. I got to go side for it.
That's where many of these dolls are headed.
How crazy is that? And then they ask at the end.
Does it feel creepy?
Yes, it does.
It doesn't at all.
Yes, it feels very creepy.
106.7 K-Rock, K-O-Q. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's the Monkees from the Good Times album.
21 Pilots.
And everybody had a good time when Michael Nesmith gave a little talk at the New Road School.
Sounds great.
At the Jerry Moss Theater there, where Michael Nesmith was promoting his new book, Infamous Tuesday.
Infinite
Tuesday. Michael Nesmith's new book.
Infinite.
And it was a great Q&A. He did a whole thing and talked all about the book. It's about before the Monkees and after the Monkees.
He did a whole thing.
And a lot of things, a lot of good things in there that he was talking about.
Good things.
And there's a little party upstairs afterwards, and we were all there. Mark London, movie director, actress, Kansas Bowling was there.
Kansas Bowling?
Christian Nesmith, and all of Michael Nesmith's kids were there. Yeah,
sounds great.
It's pretty amazing. But you got to check out his new book.
What's it called again, Rodney?
Infinite Tuesday.
You got it.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Roddy, for that update. We appreciate that. It's 9:36 on a Wednesday morning. Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
I hate to admit this, but I'm actually reading Infinite Tuesday right now.
The Nesmith book.
Yes.
How is it?
It's awesome. It's really good.
I mean, the guy had a fascinating career for sure.
Everybody thinks, oh, monkeys, whatever. He hung out with Douglas Adams and the Pythons and John Lennon, and I mean, he was as much in the center of the Cultural Revolution during the 60s and 70s as anybody. And he also invented MTV and created his own movie studio and his own fine arts group, and it was just a very creative, interesting guy.
I think I'd keep that to myself.
I support you, Ralph. That sounds like a fascinating showbiz story.
Guy does a lot of things, Kevin.
Even support you. Would you like to reconsider?
No, because even a broken clock is right twice a day. And this is one of those times where Bean is right.
I might check that out. Right?
It's very, very interesting, very well read, very funny. All right, let's talk about sad news. Michael Parks, enormously talented actor, singer, songwriter, passed away at the age of 77. Came to really be the height of his fame in the 60s with movie roles and then a TV series in the late 60s, early 70s. And then from that point on, he was hired mostly by filmmakers who loved his work, like Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez and Kevin Smith, who put him to work. I'm blanking again. Blue Velvet.
David Lynch.
Put him in Twin Peaks. And From Dusk Till Dawn, he appeared, and Kill Bill film series, the Grindhouse movies. Kevin, of course, put him in Red State and in Tusk, two tour de force performances there towards the end of his career. So, sad news, because I got a chance to hang with Michael quite a bit. He was a terrific guy, and charming as hell, and funny, and a good, good guy. So, sad news. Also, sad news is the passing of Big Black Boykin of Robin Big fame. Of course, they were on MTV through 2006 through 2008.
Yeah, that sucks.
And it was sad because those guys were great friends and passed away at the age of 45. No official cause of death yet, but it has been rumored it was a heart attack. He was a big boy. So.
I got to go there a couple of times to interview and to do stuff, and he was so just genuinely kind and happy.
Everybody
all
said
the time.
He was a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Harry Styles is in the news.
Less good.
A lot of girls are unhappy.
Oh, no.
Because the One Direction star has a new girlfriend. Tess Ward is her name. She calls herself a food blogger and model. I've seen photos. I looked her up. She should blog more food and eat more food, actually, really, as well, too. She looks like she could use a meal.
Mm.
So hopefully she will get more opportunities to have an experience involving food for her.
Well, Harry Styles is making some money now. Maybe he can afford to
buy her a meal.
Take her out? Yeah.
They are very, very close.
Do you guys have any interest at all in any of the One Direction
members going solo in the records that they have released since the band has been on its hiatus.
Who was the guy who did the Badfinger cover on Saturday Night Live? Who was that guy?
Was that Harry Styles? That was Harry, yeah.
I don't particularly care. But I was just surprised that everyone is upset that he's got a girlfriend.
Right.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. I mean, people get girlfriends.
Oh,
why is it not big...
those guys. Why, like, yeah. There are death threats. There are, like, those
yeah,
fans.
Women are very upset about this.
Well, not women.
Well,
remember
well,
how younger, awful everybody yeah. was to Selena when she was dating Justin Bieber?
Yeah. Those younger people, woof, they're crazy. Like, if I had social media back when I loved New Kids and I tweeted about, like,
Kip Winger,
I'm like, well, scrub, sexy. It would have been bad. People would want you dead.
Mm. Yeah, it's yeah. terrible.
What was that again with Kip Winger?
With the shirt. And
scrub, sexy?
When Balky and...
Good question.
Scrub. You don't remember that?
Deadpool is heading to television. In animated form.
Where are the kids, Bean? They should be yelling. For God's sakes, Deadpool.
I don't control the kids, man. The kids chime in when they're ready.
That's right. Oh. Kids go their own way, as always. FXX is working on an animated series featuring Deadpool, which will be created by Donald Glover and Stephen Glover.
I'm awesome.
Is his brother, the brother Glover?
Yes, they are the team behind Atlanta, yes.
There you go. Well, they will be writing and producing, apparently, serving as showrunners for this series. And 10 episodes have been ordered by FXX, and it's expected to debut sometime in 2018, because it takes a while to animate those shows.
Now, you guys love the movie.
Yes.
Ralph, you love the comic.
Yes.
You got room in your life for an animated series as well?
Seems not necessary, but it's fine. Fine. Go ahead.
I think
ahead,
yes, and I think everything he does is pretty good, so I'm in. I'm all in.
No word on who has been cast as the voice actors in the series. It's not expected that Ryan Reynolds will take a turn at the character. They'll cast someone else, so I guess we'll have to wait and see. But sure, why not? Go ahead. Couldn't hurt. Right?
Yeah, yeah. If it's not good, don't watch it.
Right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Odette Annable celebrates her 32nd birthday today, as does Anaheim Ducks captain Ryan Getzlaf. The game 7 tonight.
What?
Take game 7 tonight.
What?
Down there in the duck pond. Go Ducks. Kenan Thompson, Saturday Night Live, is 39 years old today. Singer Bono of the band U2.
Could we, Ralph, one more time? Do you mind?
Hang up on Bono?
I mean, if you don't mind.
How often do we get a chance to revisit that magical moment?
Birthday boy, you know.
Kevin just disrespected one of the greats.
Sir, great to talk to you. We'll see you again in a little bit, all right?
We feel the same about you. Really do, K-Rock. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you, Kevin.
The world's biggest band from the smallest club they've played.
Kevin just has no time.
I mean, he was done.
No, he wasn't.
Not even.
The point of it. He was still talking.
Felt like he was finished.
Now, why did you feel that when it wasn't happening?
I could read situations better than most people.
Oh.
My God.
I see.
Or not.
And Young MC.
Next day's function, high class luncheon, food is served in your stone cold munch.
It was a soft entry.
That was Kevin read the situation there, Ralph.
Right, which I do better than most people.
Yeah. I heard.
Bust a move, that is, that Kevin has no time for that either. A young MC, 50 years old.
Kevin, do you have a date? What's happening today?
Is there a rush? Do you have a...
Is the building on fire? We don't know it yet.
I have no excuse. I am bad. I accept that. Embrace the suck. Back to you.
In what the suck?
Embrace the
you
suck.
Heard him.
Embrace.
Embrace. Embrace the suck. Suffering suck attack.
I had food in my mouth. Back to you.
I'm Ralph Garman.
What food do you
no
all
food
of a sudden
in your
have in your mouth?
There's no food in your mouth at
I've
all.
I've had it the whole time.
No,
it's,
you haven't.
It's a sandwich. It was okay. On your drive home today, listen
it's
to
it. It's from 2 hours ago, but Kevin is a chipmunk, so he just hangs on to it until he needs it.
On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we talk sports with Jim Rome.
Yeah,
like
you do.
We do on Thursdays.
Go Ducks.
We also check in with Dr. Drew on Thursdays, and we've got your tickets in the second row for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta.
Drew!
Tomorrow morning.